ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः हरिः ॐ ॐ मे ब्रह्मन् प्रोटेक्ट् अस् बोत् मे ब्रह्मन् bestow upon us both the fruit of knowledge. May we both obtain the energy to acquire knowledge. May what we both study reveal the truth. May we cherish no ill feeling toward each other. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. So we have been discussing samskaras, sacraments, according to Hindu conception, and in my last class, I discussed that life is a journey. It is a journey first from God to samsara, and now from samsara to God. And this journey moves through four types of personalities, four stages of life. The purpose of this journey is ultimately to reach God, but secondarily through the acquisition or through the ascending of three steps, dharma, artha and kama. And sacraments are those things which prepare us, purify us, make us fit so that we can undertake this journey. In the end, the ultimate point of the journey is called atma samarpana, complete merging of oneself into the divine. And as we become purer and purer, we become fit to receive God's grace. Another way of putting it is, we use this word, grace of God. What does it mean? The more the grace of God enters into us, the more we disappear and God manifests. There was an American, he had an Irish friend. So this American came to see his friend. And on the way, they were traveling in a car. There was an accident. The American was unconscious. He lost a lot of blood. He was admitted in the hospital. The doctors declared, a man needs a lot of blood. We don't have blood. Irish man said, he is my friend. I will give. So a liter of blood was taken, given to the American. American recovered sufficiently, understood what his friend had done, gave him $100,000. Then after a few minutes, a doctor said, your friend needs another liter. So the Irishman had given him another liter of blood. And this time also, the American recovered. He gave this fellow $1,000. Third time also, he needed blood. One more liter was given. And this time he gave only $100. Fourth time he needed another liter of blood. And this time he gave nothing. So the Irishman asked, what is this? First you gave 100,000, then 1,000, then 100, then nothing. American smiled and said, don't you see? Now I am full of Irish blood. So the more we receive the grace of God, the more we become God-like. That is the meaning of receiving the grace of God. These sacraments help us to become less of ourselves and more of God-like. That is the purpose. So in my last class I discussed three prenatal samskaras. What are they? The first is the ceremony of conception, garbhadana. And the second is pumsavana, wishing for a male child. And the third is simanta, that is parting of the wife's hair, indicating that she should be a very happy mother. Otherwise, the child will be very much affected. Now, we will discuss very briefly about these things. Now, why should a concept ceremony, garbhadana, should be there? Because you see, when you observe the normal life, you will see most of the people, they behave like animals. That is to say, they want to fulfill their natural desires. They do not take any thought what is going to happen as a result of this marriage. If they want good children, mind you always that having children is the primary purpose of marriage or any sexual union. And if you have any doubts about it, that it is after all religious scriptures who are talking about the sacredness of sexual union, if by chance you have read the book The Selfish Gene by Richard Dawkins. In simple, what the book proposes to talk about is the pleasure that we get out of all these things is a bribe the gene gives to us to accomplish its purpose. What is its purpose? To propagate itself. If physicists are talking in this vein, then what to speak of spiritual people, scriptures? What is the purpose of progeny? Why do we want children? Why do we want to get married? It's not because of the pleasure that we derive. It's because a purpose has to be fulfilled. What is the ultimate purpose? Do not stop at artha and kama. You have to reach the fourth stage, which is called liberation, moksha. So this getting married, leading a particular type of life, bringing up children, how does it help? It helps us in two ways. One, by giving us some real happiness. If it is a good family, it gives us a wonderful happiness. There is no happiness in this world equivalent to the happiness of a family where husband, wife, children are all in harmony. Otherwise, it is hell. This is how, once we experience this happiness, the mind longs for higher type of happiness. This is how it helps one way. The other way is, marriage is a real help. The only way we can get the spirit of renunciation is by undergoing, troublesome partners, troublesome children, troublesome grandchildren. Ultimately, you get disgusted so much and say, I will be a monk of the Ramakrishna order. Not joking, but this is how the renunciation progresses from lower step to a higher step. But what noble concept there. So get married. After that, this Garbhadana ceremony is there. Look at it. At this ceremony, a puja is done. A worship of the Lord is done. And these are the mantras one has to do. There are many mantras, but I will only quote to you very briefly. May we produce strong and long-lived sons as fire is produced by friction. May he be well-behaved. I am part of God and I shall produce good sons to liberate my ancestors. May we beget shining, wealthy children. May we donate liberally to the needy and attain moksha, liberation. May God make you fit for conception. Let the evil spirit flee from you. Let your child be free from defects like lameness and deafness, etc. Be you like the divine Kamadhenu, etc. Most ennobling mantras, which are telling us, see, the children should be spiritual children. I also want to be spiritual person. How can I be spiritual unless my family is in harmony? That is the whole idea, is let us all progress towards God. So this is the compulsory duty enjoined on the Hindu to repay his ancestral debt, except when either or both the partners are functionally unfit. This is the spiritual purpose. May I have spiritual children. May I also progress spiritually from dharma to artha to kama to finally moksha, liberation. That is the purpose. Then there is the second ceremony, as we already mentioned. Pumsavana means, though in every society there is a kind of partiality to the male progeny. Females are not that much wanted. My understanding is there was a lot of struggle for existence. Mind you,
all these sacraments have come since hundreds of years, maybe 20 centuries, why so 20 centuries, almost 10 to 11,000 years. At that time, the struggle for existence was very, very hard. Therefore, the males, they serve two purposes. One purpose is that they protect the family. Another purpose is they are the people who help survive the family. It is the males who help the survive the family. And if there are females, there is a negative effect. Always, you know, men want women. Therefore, the enemies, they are more likely to raid and then to take away the females rather than the males. You know, even now in among the animals, if you see lions, tigers, when one male lion takes over a pride, the first thing it does, it kills all the male offspring. But it never does any harm to the female. Why? Because it wants to increase its genes through the females. We are also descending, you know, from animals. The same idea is there. That's one reason. The other reason is, mind you, this industrial civilization is only the product of 2-3 centuries back. Before that, what was the civilization? Agricultural civilization. And in the agricultural civilization, hard work had to be done by the males. That is why you always want a male progeny. This is the second reason. The third reason is, as there is a saying in among us in Hinduism, the daughter always belongs to somebody else. It is only the son who remains at home. As the daughter gets married and she goes away to her husband's place, it is only in patriarchal society that's what happens. Only in matriarchal society, the son goes away and the daughter remains at home. At that too, only one daughter. So probably there is this inherent desire within every society that we must only want more male children. And those who are lady devotees do not mind. Even I also want only males so that they can become brahmacharis in our order. There is this pumsavana, means a hearty prayer to the Lord, may I have strong, healthy, intelligent male children. Pumsavana, prayer for the male offspring. What is the third one? Simanta Utsava. This is done generally in the 5th to 8th month of the pregnancy. And as I mentioned in my last class, what is the purpose? If the pregnant mother is very happy, then the offspring which she is bearing is likely to be very happy child. So, try to make the wife very happy. And that is the purpose of this. They give all sorts of ornaments, new cloths, decorate her very nicely. Until the child is born, she is almost looked upon as a goddess. And just to give you a glimpse how our Vedas and Kalpa Sutras, Dharma Sutras treated. Music, especially on the Veena, is indicated to be played on this occasion. This increases the mother's suckling power besides conferring other psychological benefits. Ladies are asked to sing, be a mother of heroic sons, thus creating a heroic atmosphere. The mother fasts and keeps silent after the ceremony till night time when the stars become visible. At the close of the ceremony, she touches a male calf symbolizing a son. May she give me a brave son. Whatever is uttered herein is true. The oblation offered is meant for Raka and it is not for me. These are translation of some of the mantras which indicate that let the mother carry the offspring without any mishap, accident. Let her give birth to strong, healthy children. That is the purpose. Psychologically, how important it is to keep a beautiful atmosphere, sweet atmosphere. And it starts with the prayer. It's to looking after the wife very, very sweetly. How much psychology our ancestors knew even in those days. to be able to understand these things, it is amazing, really speaking. Now, not to speak of human beings, we can even say that animals are also very much affected by musical instruments. When they are happy, they produce more milk. So economically also it makes sense. Our Krishna, Lord Krishna, used to do it. But the most important thing is music has a tremendous effect. Of all the influences that exert a change within us, the voice, the sounds are the most wonderful. You see a painting, not much influence. You read some book, not much influence. But you hear a voice, sometimes you can never forget it, either for good or bad. Tremendous effect. Children are soothed. Yeah, you know, even music can soothe children. And some parents want to experiment on their children. And some fathers start to sing. And then the child goes mad. The power of the voice is tremendous. Either voice or instrumental or vocal, it has tremendous effect. So the idea is, from this time onwards, the pregnant mother should be kept in the happiest frames of mind so that her offspring would also likely to be happier. Then these are the three. Garbhadana, conception, ceremony of conception. Then Pumsavana, Simanta. These are called prenatal, before the child is born. Immediately after the child is born, until he starts his, what is called educational samskaras, there are certain samskaras. The first is, of course, Jata Karma. Jata Karma means as soon as a child is born, immediately certain ceremonies have to be done. One of the purposes is to ward off evil things. You know, every religion believes there are malevolent creatures who are out to harm, especially newly born babies, etc. It is not mere belief. We have become very skeptical, but there are lots of instances when these creatures can do harm if sufficient care is not taken. The other purpose is, it is a joyous occasion. So a child is born, and this child must be brought up so that he will be an ornament, a credit, rather than a debit to the society. Puja is done for the sake of, it's a blessing, it's a prayer, and it also creates certain vibrations. You know, Vedic chanting has wonderful powers of vibration. Nowadays, people are discovering that. Take one simple example, Gayatri Mantra. When it is chanted rhythmatically and beautifully, how much effect it has upon our minds. Have you ever noticed it? Just Gayatri Mantra for 1 hour. There's a beautiful voice. There is one tape by one famous singer called Anuradha Padwal. It is so beautiful. You go on, it's just, you will enter into a meditative state. And you know, there are so many Western spiritual organizations. They have somehow understood this. They chant Gayatri for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, just they light a lamp and go on chanting. If you attend any Buddhistic interfaith meeting, you will see that they light so many lamps, beautiful lamps, and in that semi-darkness type of atmosphere, they have their own peculiar chants. Samaveda is designed around this. The music has tremendous power. Part of this sacred ceremony is music. So there would be music, there would be puja, etc. There will be tremendous prayer, so that the child may develop good samskaras, good impressions of the mind, or he can learn, if there are bad impressions, to offset them through proper atmosphere, creation of proper atmosphere, etc. So it is a wonderful ceremony. That is what distinguishes human beings from animals. Everything is connected with sacredness, with God. Then a name is during this ceremony. This is called, as soon as the child is born, a ceremony is there. And it is also called purification ceremony. Hindus believe somehow that the mother becomes impure by the birth of a child. There are two types of impurities according to Hinduism. When someone is born, when someone is dead. So in the gospel we get, there is a song. One devotee says, I am impure because my mother, ignorance, is dead and I have two sons born, discrimination and dispassion, Viveka and Vairagya. And both accounts I am observing the period of Ashaucha, we call it, impurity. These are the two important parts. So to also purify this puja ceremony, worship ceremony, also helps us to get rid of these impurities. And then a name is given to the child. It's a most wonderful and interesting part. I'm not talking about naming of the child, which comes later on. Here a secret name is given there. And then these priests and others will come and they will pray. May we live 100 years, be a stone, be an axe unto your enemies, be the imperishable gold. Then the father prays that the child be endowed with strength, valor and fame. And then there are a lot of ceremonies. And then he says, your confidential name is Veda. What is Veda? Knowledge. Your confident secret name is Veda. You know why this name is given? For two purposes. One purpose is that an unnamed child, just as Christians believe, an unbaptized child would go to the other place. So an unnamed child is likely to be harmed. But if he is named, he will not be harmed. Wonderful name, Vedaha Asi Iti. Tvam Vedaha Asi Iti. Thou art Veda. This is the secret name. O child, for you, I give this beautiful name. And then, after that, what you know what he does? That he will touch the father of the child, touch the child with a bar of the gold, make the child lick a little of the mixed ghee and honey. The first thing a just born baby is given is ghee and honey. That is the first food. This is the food of gods. Food fit to be offered to gods. A child also is considered as equivalent to a god. So if something comes out of the mouth of a child, then you should consider it as the words of God himself. O child, for you I give this ghee and honey which has been produced by God. Who is the producer of all the wealth of the world? May you be preserved and be protected. I establish in you the idea of God, who is the giver of life. I establish in you the idea of God, who is all beatitude. I establish in you, O child, the idea of God, who is the source of all movements. I establish in you the idea of God, who is the life of all beatitude and the source of all movements. Thus saying, praying, the father gives ghee and honey 6 times to the child. What a marvelous prayer. Where else do you get this kind of prayer? I establish in you the idea of God. As though he is injecting into the just born baby the idea of God. So that he can become a godly person later on. What a marvelous concept. Then comes the 5th samskara, which is called naming of the child. Now it's a very important ceremony in Hinduism. Because Hindus believe that every name is a vibrating, it's a sound. Every name is a sound and every sound is a vibration. And depending upon what type of vibration, the effects are also experienced. And so the child must be given most wonderful names so that it will remind the child that you are such and such. For example, Vishnu, Krishna or Prasada. Some children are named as Prasada, Ram Prasad. What a beautiful name, are associated with Krishna. You know, monastic names associated with God, Ananda, Vedantic names. Every Hindu child, it is an imposition, it is a sacred command that they should not give ugly, horrible names, ferocious names, you know, like Bhutini, Pretini, Pishachini. Such names should not be given. Beautiful names, so that those who hear and also the child will be reminded of the name. Usually they will be the names of the gods and goddesses. If it is female, Ganga or Kaveri, Saraswati, Sarada, etc. Good names. This is very important for us. I consider it most important. But before I go into a little bit into that, I have to tell you also, you know, there are some parents, unfortunately for some reason, they lose their children in childhood. They die. Or some accidents happen, some disease comes, they can't retain. So there is a belief, some star, malevolent star, usually Shani Graha, Rahu Graha and all those things, are influencing the child. Or some malevolent beings, some ghosts, spirits, they are taking away the child. So to prevent them, they will give very bad names. This is an exceptional case. One example is Papi Reddy. Papi. Papi means what? Not puppy. Papi. Papi means a sinful person. Why? Because the devils will come to know, oh, this is our man. We don't need to do anything. So they will leave him alone. Otherwise, barring these accidents, one should be given beautiful names. Now, the idea is, you give a good name so that you, when you call that boy, you are calling God himself or goddess herself. And the boy also has the same what is called idea about himself. That is why when a novice completes certain time of period of training in our order, he is always given a most beautiful name with Chaitanya at the end. But once he takes to monastic life again, most beautiful names are given so that, you know, it is a reminder for us, and it is so nice to hear the good names, ideal names. It is very important, this ceremony is very important. Either on the 10th day or 12th day, a child is named with a good name. And as I mentioned, every name is pronounced, sounded. Every sound has a vibration. And every sound has either a good vibration or a bad vibration. Why not have a good vibration? The whole mantra shastra, it is called in Sanskrit, Sphota Vada. Sphota Vada. Sphota means vibration. That every mantra, the mantra shastra in Hinduism is purely based upon this knowledge that every sound has a vibration. If we can produce a similar type of sound, then we can have mastery over that particular thing. And just to give an example, how, you know, I read all sorts of psychological books. How to have a good interview. So the advice given is to the interview, the person who is being interviewed, observe your interviewer. If the interviewer is scratching his left ear, you also scratch the left ear. If he crosses his left leg over the right leg, then you also put the left leg over the right. What is the idea? That you are being in synchrony with that person, so that person will not have negative ideas about you. This is how, you see, how to have harmony with the others. Not to speak of interviewing only. If you want to make friends with somebody, and after some time if you observe what the other person is doing, you will be also doing. So this kind of imitation has a certain effect. Not 100% effect, but certain effect is there. So this is the idea that if we can produce beautiful sounds with beautiful vibrations, it will give us wealth, it will give us health, it will give us many good things. Now another theory is magnetotherapy. Have you heard about magnetotherapy? Some magnets, you know, if you have got stomach ache or headache or something, or rheumatic pains or things like that. There are some people who practice this magnetotherapies. They will give you certain magnets. Place it either on your hands or the magnets in the form of a small bangle like that. So what does a magnet do? It's vibrating with certain types of power. So that somehow affects the brain. And there is a lot of evidence to show that it is true. Done correctly, it helps us. Just to give you one example, though not connected with our topic, there was a girl who was staying in her house in the basement. Suddenly she started feeling somebody, some presence is watching her. Some presence is watching her all the time. She did not know. She was going mad because she was thinking it may be evil spirit, whatever it is. There were people who were trying to find out whether ghosts and other things, whether in some houses, haunted houses, etc. When this girl claimed, "I always feel somebody is always, as long as I am at the basement, somebody is watching me all the time." And these people went with electromagnetic detective, the detectors. And then they found out what happened was, she bought one digital alarm clock. And that has got a kind of, all the chips. Some vibrations were coming and it was near her head. And these vibrations were affecting the frontal lobe of the brain, her brain. And that was producing that strong sense of feeling the presence of something. Now, this is not different from a person who believes in God, who believes in spirits and ghosts. We always feel something. The first part of the brain that is to be affected is this frontal lobe. So it is nothing supernatural. They removed that digital alarm clock, all the presence had left. The point is, that vibration of that digital alarm clock was definitely affecting her frontal lobe. This is only, I'm only telling you to prove that the effect of this vibration. But I am not saying that if you are feeling the presence of God, you will have to search for some electromagnetic devices in your house. What I am saying is the power of vibration. Mantras have the power. The sut, music has this tremendous power. Why does it happen? Tell me. I can tell you a lot of examples, but I will give one example. These soldiers always march in unison, left, right, like that. But when they come to a bridge, they want to do it. Do you know why? Because that marching in unison produces such a tremendous vibration. Sometimes if the bridge is weak, it can break down. So there he says, dismissed. And then they walk just as they like. And as soon as they cross the bridge, again they start. Power of vibration. The secret of music is to be able to produce the right power of vibration. And this produces appropriate changes in our brain. When the brain becomes receptive through these appropriate vibrations, then we can have visions. The music therapy, again I told you, in Hindu music there are ragas. And it has been proved that if a person plays a particular raga, finely scattered sand, it assumes a particular shapes. Did I tell you about that? You spread sand, very fine particles of sand, and play, say, veena or a flute, some stringed instrument near that. If you play a particular raga, the sand particles arrange themselves in a particular way, shapes. What wonder is there? Receptive minds could see the Divine Mother, Goddess. Every raga is the formation of some goddess. Sri Ramakrishna had a vision of Mother Saraswati playing the veena, and with each note, billions of creatures are coming into existence. And when she completed her playing, all of them entered. The Srishti Sthiti Laya is nothing but a play of the Divine Mother. To put it in another way of life, it is a play, Leela. But here it is a play of the Mother Saraswati Veena. Have you read Devotees of Sri Ramakrishna? It is there in the Great Master. If you read it, you will come across. So it is an important ceremony to have now, to give a good name. Don't ever give to your children any horrible names or meaningless names. Then the sixth samskara is called Nishkramana Samskara. First outing of the baby to show the sun, God, sadhus, holy people, temples, etc. There is a Hindus believe that this is very important, first outing. Usually, many of our devotees, what do? The first outing will be to the center. Let the child see Sri Ramakrishna, or let Sri Ramakrishna also see the child, so that the child will get the blessings of Sri Ramakrishna. It is very important, the first visible God according to Hinduism, the greatest God who is visible to each one of us. Who is that? The Sun God, S-U-N, Surya Deva. That is why the whole Gayatri is addressed to the Surya Deva, morning, afternoon, evening, etc. Without seeing the sun, at least mentally, there is no Gayatri Upasana at all. So Sun God, the sun influences our life. He is the producer of food, he is the producer of seasons, he is the producer of our sustenance. He is also the one who takes away all the evil things. Do you know that? When a dead body is lying, who is it that cleans it up very quickly? If you go to Africa and other places, the dead body will be completely devoid of any smell within a few hours because of the power of the sun. Otherwise, it will produce a lot of evil effects. The first sight of the baby should be the sun, and the parents stay, show the sun, and then also in the night they will show the moon, and of course they will come to the temples. This is the sixth samskara. Seventh samskara is called annaprashana, and many of you know that. Many of the babies are brought here, annaprashana. So the idea is the first solid food is a food that is offered to God. Sri Ramakrishna used to say that if we take prasada of God, we become prasada of God. I mentioned last class that Nag Mahashaya, he used to be given prasada in a leaf, and not only he used to eat the prasada, he also used to eat the leaf. What is the idea? Because prasada touched the leaf also has become holy, and so he doesn't want to leave it. This is the idea. Sri Ramakrishna had tremendous faith, and especially there are two types of prasadas which he used to call Mahaprasada. One is food offered to Lord Jagannatha at Puri, and the other is the prasada offered to Mother Kali, Mahakali. This is called Mahaprasada. And especially the prasada of Lord Jagannath. Sri Ramakrishna used to say, every devotee must take a bit of that food every day in the morning, and that will give devotion, that will purify the mind, and that will make him fit to receive the grace of God. And if devotees of Ramakrishna believe Sri Ramakrishna's words, then they must do it. Not once in a way, occasionally. It's very easy to get dried prasada. Just get it. What is the idea? The idea is, if we take prasada, then what do we become? We also become prasada ourselves. You know, there was a very wonderful incident. Sri Ramakrishna could never visit Puri Jagannath because he believed that if he goes there, he would enter into samadhi like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He would never come back. So he sent M. M went there and embraced the Lord, came back. Then you know what Sri Ramakrishna did? He embraced M. It's because M embraced the Lord and Sri Ramakrishna embraced M. Therefore, Sri Ramakrishna also as though embraced the Lord indirectly. This is what, there is a custom in South India, in our parts where I was born. You know, Lord Venkateshwara, Balaji, the most important deity. And there will be many people who would be going there. From my village, it's quite far away. Many people cannot afford to go there. So there is a beautiful custom, which I don't know whether it is there in other parts of India. So even if rich people, when they decide to go, 2-3 days before they go, they will have to take one small vessel, put it on their heads, they go on chanting, you know, Balaji's name, Tirupati Venkateshwara. Govinda, Govinda, like that. Go around the village. Now the villagers who cannot go for some reason, they will put something, a bit of rice, a little bit of money, a little bit of, you know, this turmeric, kumkum, etc. to the person. The idea is, you are going there, you are fortunate, you carry these things on my behalf, offer them to the Lord, and when you come back, you will bring the prasadam and you will give it to all of us. So the person will go on others' behalf, he will carry this and offer it to the Lord, and when he comes back, he will bring some prasada and he will distribute it to everybody in the village a little bit. Now, they feel blessed that they also have got the fruit of visiting the Lord through this. What a beautiful concept. This one. Another beautiful idea was, you know, there are people who cannot visit the temple even because of two reasons. One is they may be untouchables in those days, and the second is they may be old, they may not be in a position to go. That's why the Lord comes to them. And this is called chariot festival, horse chariot festival, elephant festival, etc. are there. The Lord is pulled in a chariot, you know, chariot festival. In South India, there is a peculiar custom. The Lord has a special, what is called makuta, you know, you call it. You put it on the head, like a bell. So that it is not put really on the Lord, but it is used for putting it on the head of the Lord, and that the priests bring. And any old person, you know, from the house, just they will bring the old person in a wheelchair or in a cart or they hobble. Then this priest will go and put that on the heads of the person. That is the prasada of the Lord. The Lord is blessing, as though the Lord's hand is being put on the heads of these people. We all used to rush to get these things, though we didn't understand what was the significance of it at that time. So these are all the means that how we can spiritualize our life, how we can become pure. This is one of the most important samskaras. It's called annaprashana. The first food should be prasada of the Lord. By that also indicating you must become prasada, means you must become a dedicated person to the Lord. This is the idea. We are great believers in prasada. That is why, you know, the Hindu ceremonies are so beautiful, and Hindus don't believe in half measures. They don't believe in merely dried prasada. They want pancha bhaksha paramana prasada in gold and silver plates if possible. That is why our festivals are so becoming popular. Every festival, more and more people are coming. So that's why somebody remarked, you know, for Hindu pujas, bhajan and bhojan. These are the two most important things. So annaprashana is a very important ceremony. Usually it is done at the sixth month. So by that time the child is able to take solid food. And the first food should be food offered to the Lord. Then at this time there are many prayers are done. I won't go into the details, but this is one of them. Tvam annapatihi annavo vardhamano bhoyah, meaning, O child, may you be endowed by God's grace with anna. May you grow in strength and may you live a long life. This is the physical anna. But later on will come the intellectual and spiritual anna that we will discuss shortly. Then comes the next is Chudakarma. Chudakarma means first shaving of the head. Many people shave. Heads are shaved on few occasions. The first occasion is when the child is 7 or 8 months old, the head is shaved. Another occasion is when some near and dear relative dies, it is done. Of course, the third occasion is when the child goes to the Gurukula, then the head is shaved. Then, of course, the one of the most sacred ceremonies where the head is shaved is when a person takes to the fourth ashrama, which is called sannyasa. Shaving of the head indicates that he is shedding off all attachments. The most strongest, horrible attachments, they are in the head, above the head. A barber is called, a ceremony is done, the complete shaving of the head is done. The most precious object of a human being is the hair. In Tirupati Balaji, What is the best offering one can give to God? It is the hair. Whether man, woman, child, old man, old woman, the head is shaved. Because shaving a shaven head is indicative of two things. One is the attachments are shaven, and second is it is also an indirect symbol that everyone is to become in the end a monk or a nun, sannyasi. This is the symbolic significance of it. The idea is that this must be brahmachari. Brahmachari is a spiritual preparation. Then the next is karnavedha. Karnavedha means piercing of the ears. So they make a small hole, not only for girls. In the past they used to make for males also. I don't know how many of you have got. Certainly I had my share of it, as I mentioned. And they put golden, you know, small rings around the karnavedha, piercing of the ears. They say there is some significance. I do not know what exactly it is, but they say it is good for health. I don't know if they are good for health or not, but it is one of the ceremonies which is going out of fashion now. So these are the childhood samskaras. And now comes what is called the educational samskaras. It is most important. The first, there are three such samskaras are there, or rather four samskaras are there. Vidyarambha. You know, a child is brought, sometimes we do here, they bring rice, etc. And the first thing that we do is write the name of God. Om, or Om Namah Shivaya, or one's chosen deity's name, whichever God's name, Saraswati's name. There will be a pencil, and there will be a paper, some rice, etc. And this is a ceremony. Many, many Hindu devotees observe even today. They go to a temple or come to our ashrama and we do it. The idea is that let this child be endowed with good education, and that is one of the samskaras, arambha. May God bless this child so that the child will not have any obstructions for his acquisition of true knowledge, intellectual knowledge, moral knowledge and spiritual knowledge. But this is only the beginning. For Brahmins especially, in the olden days, and Brahmins and Kshatriyas, they are called Dvijas. There is this special type of ceremony that is called sacred thread ceremony. That is Yajnopavita ceremony. That is called also Upanayana. Why is it called Upanayana? You know the word Upa, the prefix Upa. Upasana, Upavasa, Uposh we call it in Bengali. Upa means near. Nayana means to take, to lead. Take the child to the nearer to the teacher. That is why it is called Upanayana. This is the most important ceremony in an upper caste man's, Hindu's life. And on this day, he is considered to be a reborn. He is called Dvija. It is the most important ceremony. So this ceremony gives the child a second birth. The child commences his journey on the road to spiritual life. And this is contrasted with a life of eating, sleeping and procreating, which is a kind of animal life. And on this occasion, the child is given the most important treasure. What is it? Gayatri Mantra. Gayatri Mantra is put into his ears. What is the essence of this Gayatri Mantra? You know, Gayatri Mantra, first of all, I mentioned to you earlier, in case you have forgotten, it consists of 24 letters. It consists of three parts. What are those three parts? Can you remember Gayatri Mantra? Om Bhur Bhuvasvaha Tat Savitir Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhyo Yonaha Prachodayat. Om Bhur Bhuvasvaha, that is not part of the real Gayatri Mantra. Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhyo Yonaha Prachodayat. Three parts. These three parts are taken from three Vedas, Rig Veda, Yajur Veda and Sama Veda. Later on, this Bhur Bhuvasvaha was added to it. The essence of this mantra is, O Lord, I pray to you earnestly, May you be my guide, may you enlighten my buddhi. This is called the awakening of the Medha. Medha means spiritual intelligence. And Sri Ramakrishna was very particular that every Brahmin must do this. Swami Vivekananda said, let every Hindu be given a sacred thread. There is no mantra which is so ancient, first of all it is thousands of years old, so beautiful, so meaningful, so rhythmic, so vibrating. I can tell you, as I just now mentioned, just go on listening for half an hour, 1 hour, in a beautiful voice. It has a beautiful effect upon our mind. But the meaning of the mantra is even more beautiful. What is it? It is a mantra of complete self-surrender. Now I am thinking with my buddhi, means my intelligence. What does my intelligence say to me? I am the owner. This is me. These are mine. I and mine. What does this mantra say to us? It says, you are the owner. You are the Lord. Everything belongs to you. I also belong to you. Equivalent Bengali song, Shokali Tomar Ichha. Complete self-surrender. So, I meditate upon you. May you enlighten my intelligence. What is the final intelligence? What is the highest intelligence? Spiritual intelligence. That I am not the body, I am the divine being. That is the ultimate essence of, whether you call it Aham Brahmasmi, call it Tattvamasi, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma, to feel that everything is divine. Therefore, I am also divine. I am not the body, I am not the mind. But I am unable to achieve that realization. But how can I achieve? Only through your grace. And this is the prayer for the grace of the highest divinity. There is no name there. The name is neutral, Tat, that highest reality, Brahman. May it enlighten my mind. This mantra is given to the child. Just look, the beauty of this samskara sacrament. Even before the child has gone to the teacher, he has already been given the very essence of the whole life. You surrender yourself. So the surrender comes in gradual. The meaning of this mantra has to be put into practice. I surrender myself to you, O Lord. That's the beautiful prayer. But it has to be put into practice. How does one put into practice? Matruti ho bhava. May your mother become God to you. Pitru deho bhava. May your father become God to you. Acharya devo bhava. May your teacher become God to you. Then Atidhi devo bhava. May the guest become a God to you. Gradually, let everything become a God to you. That means try to see God in everything. This is the essence of Upanishads. Isavasya Upanishad. What is the first verse? This whole universe is nothing but a manifestation of Ishvara, the Lord. Isha Vashya Medagam Sarma Yat Kincha Jagatyam Jagat. Live your whole life with this knowledge and enjoy your life with this knowledge. Everything is filled with God. You are also God. Your neighbor also is God. What you think belongs to you is also God's. Everything is nothing but God. That is the essence of this Gayatri Mantra. To see the divinity. So it is a Tat Savituh Varenyam. That means the excellence, the splendor, divine splendor. And where is the divine splendor? Bho, Bhuva, Swaha. Filled in the all the three worlds. Filled means what? Not like sunlight. Filled means the three worlds are nothing but manifestation of yourself. I do not have the eyes to see it right now. May I have that eyes to see it. Bhagavad Gita, 11th chapter. Arjuna, what does Arjuna say? O Lord, I believe your words that this whole universe is nothing but your manifestation. But I do not have that intelligence to see you. So may you be gracious enough so that I can see how you see the world. And you know, he says, you cannot see me through these ordinary eyes. But I will give you divyam dadamite chakshu. Pashyame yoga maishwaram. is, look. And Arjuna opened his eyes. He looked. What did he see? Nothing but the Divine Lord. The whole universe is nothing but manifestation of the Divine Lord. That is the lesson this child is taught from the very beginning. Through self-surrender, you surrender your individual, ignorant, stupid intelligence into the Divine Intelligence. Then Divine Intelligence will come into you. And then what will you say? The whole universe is nothing but your manifestation. This is called Vishwarupa Darshan. This is the ultimate goal of all of us, to see Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. So thereafter, the other ceremony is, he will go to a Gurukula. Nowadays, of course, that system is no longer there. Then he spends some years acquiring some knowledge. Then, at the end of it, there is a ceremony. It is called Snataka ceremony. Snataka means simply the education is complete and the child is going, has completed 1/4 of his life. What is that life? Brahmacharya ashrama is complete. He is most likely to enter into the garhasthya life, the married householder's life, and there must be a samskara for that. So there is a convocation address there. The teacher gathers all the students who have completed their education and he gives them final instruction. And I will read out these instructions in my next class and continue the samskaras. I think next week we have this class. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.